I did this at University College in London, something called the DPU, and we referred to today, with a brilliant German architect called Otto Königsberger, who was a fantastic guy, very sort of supportive and very, very, very sceptical of me. He sat me down in front of him and said, "How many languages do you speak?" I said, "I speak English." "Yes, but what else?" It was getting worse and worse. I said, "Well, what countries have you been to?" "Well, I've been to France." That didn't help. And he went on like this, and then he said, "Right, now let me tell you my terms for supervising you. Number one, you will go to the next major disaster, wherever it is. You will keep your mouth shut. You will keep your ears and eyes open. And you promise me faithfully not to design anything." I said, "Oh," because I thought designing was what architects did. I said, "Isn't there a design issue?" He said, "Yes, there is, but it might not be your issue. You might be facilitating other people to design." And I didn't quite understand what he was talking about. He said, "But do I have your agreement that you'll go to the next..." Well, I said, "I'm not sure how I'd get there." He said, "If you haven't got the initiative to get there, you can go right now, out." So I said, "Yeah, I'll get there." And a few months later, there was a big earthquake in Nicaragua, and that's how it all began. And I was teaching in Oxford Polytechnic, and after about 4 or 5 years, somebody said, "We have a publishing department here. We'd like to write a little book and use the students. So would you be prepared to write a book?" I said, "I've never written a book in my life." They said, "Well, no, but why not try and do it on your work?" So that's how this began. And while I'm coming up on the train this morning, I was just thinking about rereading bits, and to be honest, I'd completely forgotten things I said in it. For example, here's a little bit about politics and disasters. It's about the United States. This was about political interference in disasters. A recent example of this emerged after the earthquake in the Philippines on the 16th of August 1976, when 8,000 died and an estimated 100 million damages were sustained. The New York Times carried a report that the U.S. Embassy in Manila had made contact with the government of the Philippines to see if a rapid assessment could be reached on the development of American air bases. If that agreement could be made about the American air bases, there'd be absolutely no obstacle to the flow of aid to the 35,000 homeless families. So once the agreement was there for the air bases, that would unlock the key for, I thought, help. And then I remember writing that and thinking, well, if we only get good guidelines out, that would all stop. We won't be having this political nonsense. Well, we know what's happening at the moment. So that was a bit of a mistake. And there's a lot in here about donor shelters, these kind of things, where you drop things out of helicopters. And Joe's shown me a wonderful picture of what he's just seen in the Bahamas. So that's still going on. I thought once we write a book like this, people would stop designing polyurethane little houses, which are useless. But no, they're still doing it. I had one ghastly experience in 1981 when I had a phone call from the British government, and they said, "Would I design the British disaster shelter?" I said, "No, I wouldn't do that." And they said, "Why not?" I said, "Because my research and our research for the UN and others is going in the opposite direction. We're talking about shelter as a process and sheltering, not just shelters. There isn't a need for that design that you want." They said, "Well, we believe there is, you see." I said, "Fine, okay." They said, "Would you be prepared to be on the review group if somebody else designs it?" I said, "I'll have to think about that." And I talked to my colleagues in Oxford Poly, and they said, "That's what architects this place do. You've got to be on the review. Of course you've got to be on the review group. You might be able to stop something silly happening." So fast forward 1 year, and I get a phone call to say, "The Royal College of Art in London, industrial designers, have designed a disaster shelter, which is called the British Disaster Shelter. Could I come to the review meeting?" Well, we turned up in Victoria, and there was a model of what looked like a space re-entry capsule. It was this shape, and a family of five would sit in it, You couldn't stand up in it. You could sit on like a big sofa. And the people from the Royal College of Art Industrial Design, tutors, not to students, tutors, said the advantage here is this will, it can float. So if there's a flood, it can float about like a boat. And what's more, if there's an earthquake, it will bounce about and there won't be any problem with it. So I said to the chap, I said, can you stand up in the shelter? They said, no. I said, can you go to the toilet in the shelter? They said, no, we don't think so. I said, so can you cook in it? No. I said, what do you do in it? They said, you live in it to resist disasters. It was extraordinary. And sitting next to me was the head of the building research establishment, George Atkinson, a brilliant guy. And we went round the room after they presented it, and everybody made funny sort of approving noises until it came to me. And I said, I'm